fruits of the Spirit. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to Galatians 5. We'll be in verses 16 to 26. So a little bit of context before we jump into the verse. So the Galatians church is the church that Paul's writing this letter to. And they have a compilation of, they have some believers that have Jewish background, and then they have some believers that are not Jewish background. And so the Jewish background believers have grown up following the laws of Judaism. They've followed all of the rules and requirements, and that has been the thing that set them apart. So them saying, we are God's people, we are following God, that looks like us following these laws. But then Jesus comes, and then Jesus dies and is resurrected, and people that are not a part of that background start joining that community. And what happens is they believe, they're saying, okay, well, the gospel is saying that people get saved because of Jesus' death. So it's like, you say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to accept him as Lord over my life. And that's what's going to make me saved and set apart. But then you have people that believe the same thing, but are also still following like the laws that they were following before. And so what started happening is they were telling the Gentiles, the people that weren't from that same background, they were saying, hey, you actually need to follow these laws too. Yes, we're following Jesus. Yes, we love Jesus. But these laws are the thing that God gave us way back, and that's the thing that sets us apart. And so one of the things that Paul's saying in this letter is he's actually specifying, he's saying, no, that's not actually what we're doing here. Jesus fulfilled the law. And so if you try and make other people that aren't from that background hold the same law that you were trying to hold, you'll fail because you weren't actually able to fulfill the law in your own strength anyway. And so then he starts talking about fruit. And I think that a helpful way to even think about why he's talking about fruit is he's saying that there's still something that sets us apart. So before, you would say, I had the law, and this was the thing that set us apart. We have this law that God gave us, and we're following it. We're not living life like everyone else. This is the thing that makes us God's people. But Paul is saying, hey, no, that's actually not this thing that's setting us apart now. Now, there's a whole new way, and it wasn't just that we're saved through Jesus, but it's that we can walk by the Spirit. And so what that means is the same Spirit that Jesus had is the Spirit that is alive in us. And then the byproduct of that is fruit. So what he's saying is before, this is what you looked at to say, hey, we're set apart, we're God's people. He's saying now, actually, there's something else that you can look at, and it's called fruit. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and read this whole section of verse 16 to 26. Who's got a physical Bible? I'm seeing a lot of them. Nice. I love it. Yeah, they're back. 2024. Year of the physical Bible. All right. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So, like he says in here, he says that there is fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So these are the fruits. These are the byproducts of a life that is walking by the Spirit, that is life in the Spirit. And fruit tells us a couple of helpful things, just practically. So there's two things that fruit does really well. Fruit reveals the root. All right, you like that? Fruit reveals the root. What I mean by that is the fruit tells you something about the nature of the tree. Okay? And then the second thing is that fruit reveals the health. So the quality of the fruit tells you something about the health of the tree. So we got a couple of photos of trees. Reagan, can you throw that first tree up? All right. Who knows what kind of tree this is?
A dead one.
A dead one. It could just be winter. I don't know if it's actually dead. There's not much on it, though. A brown one. Levi.
Is it a birch tree?
A birch tree? That's not a birch tree. Malachi. Fig tree? No, it's not a fig tree. It is an apple tree.
Oh!
There we go. All right, and then can we go to the next picture? I'm not even going to ask the question. We all know it's an apple tree. It's an apple tree. So when we say fruit reveals the root, what I'm saying is now we look at that tree and we're like, oh yeah, obviously that's an apple tree. You don't need to investigate. You don't need to. The fruit by itself is just telling you this is what kind of tree it is. The second thing that it does is it reveals the health. So can you go to that next? Yeah. So this is also an apple tree, but something's not right. I don't know what exactly is not right. I don't know if there's insects or what got into that tree. But the apples here, you would look at this tree, you could see the apples, and you could be like, I think that there's something off with this tree. I can tell it's an apple tree. It's not an orange tree. It's not. I'm not going to look at it and go, wait, I actually think that that's something else. You're just going to go, I think I got to do something about this. So, I'm going to go a little bit more into what I mean by fruit reveals the root. So an apple tree makes apples. Makes sense, right? An apple tree makes apples. An orange tree makes oranges. When it comes to us talking about, yeah, Nico's mind blown right now. I know, it's profound. But when you think about life in the spirit, these fruits that we listed off, are natural. When I say they're natural byproducts, what I mean is that it's not coming from you just like standing there trying to muster it up. Like, oh man, I need joy. Oh, just joy. Like, that's not how it happens. It's a natural byproduct. So as believers, as people who follow Jesus, we get to be born again. We get to be born of the Spirit. What that means is that now we're planted and we have a different source. And so if we have a source that's the Spirit, the fruit that should come up is actually the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit of the Spirit is not something that comes by effort. It's not something that comes by our own like mustering up or our own willpower. It's actually something that is meant to reflect our new life. So the other thing that Paul says earlier in Galatians 5 is he talks about how there is actually sort of a battle. There's like opposition happening. And he's saying that the flesh and the spirit are at opposition. So there are things that happen that we do that sometimes aren't even like intentional or thought through decisions, but they're just a response. They're a natural byproduct of us having a sinful nature, right? So like, I don't know about you, but there's times where, have you ever been upset? Like just, you're just mad and you don't really know why you're as upset as you are, but you just know that you're upset. Like maybe someone said something or maybe things were boiling up, but it was to a point where the fruit of that, so let's say you have an argument with your sibling and it wasn't actually that like serious. If you just were to sit down and write out what happened, you're like, it honestly shouldn't have made me as upset as I did, but it just did. And things like that are just, sometimes that's just a fruit of the flesh. That's just the fruit of our sinful nature that will act out in these ways. Because there's that other list that comes up about some of those things. It talks about immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. So these are all things that come up as like byproducts of us having flesh, of us having a sinful nature. And so when we get to be born again, when we're following Jesus now, This is actually an opportunity for us to say, hey, I know that these things come up and I've seen these things come up out of me, but now I'm no longer stuck to having these things come out, to having the evil, the impurity, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. I'm not stuck having that come out of me. There's actually a new way. And now I know that there's the ability to have a source that is different from the old source. Yeah. So now it's not just, hey, I'm really angry and bitter. Let me just suppress it, or let me just ignore it or avoid it, or just avoid people that make me feel that way. But no, there's actually a new source that I can pull from now that isn't based on human effort, but it's based on what Jesus did alone. The next is that the fruit reveals the health. So healthy fruit trees produce healthy fruit, right? And something that's kind of interesting about this analogy of thinking about like trees and fruit is for example, my parents, they have an apple tree in our backyard. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. We didn't have any apples for like 3 or 4 years though. So we had an apple tree. My parents were taking care of it. They were like trying to do everything that they could, but they weren't seeing any apples come up. What was interesting though is their response to not seeing apples, they didn't start questioning certain things about the tree. They didn't question if it's still an apple tree. They didn't question like, oh, is this what we thought we bought? Did someone lie to us and do we not get an apple tree? No, their next question was, there must be something that's missing. There must be like nutrients that are missing, or maybe we need to prune this tree so that it can grow a specific way. But the health of the tree, so if we're expecting fruit and we're not seeing it in a tree, the natural response is to be like, okay, well, there's either something that's missing, there's like a nutrient that's missing, maybe it's not getting enough water, maybe it's not getting like pollination or whatever it could be, but it's like maybe there's something there that's missing, or maybe there's something that's missing, or maybe there's something that needs to be added. Yeah. Like if you could say, oh, maybe there's an insect, sorry. So let's say we have an insect. So there could be something that's causing harm to the tree, or there could be nutrients that are missing from the tree, okay? So if there's an insect, if there's some sort of like disease that's going on in the soil, it would affect the health of the tree. So if I'm saying I should be seeing apples from this apple tree, but I'm not, there's certain things that we should be looking at. So the health of the tree is a good sign to us, or the health of the fruit is a good sign to us of maybe what that tree could actually need. And like I said before, it's not a, like, since we know that fruit isn't something that you muster up, if you could muster it up, like if you're just like, hey, this tree just needs to put in more effort and then it should create apples, we would approach it completely different, right? Because then we wouldn't be saying, oh man, like maybe I should go and find some fertilizer, maybe I should go and find a way for it to get pollinated. No, you'd just be like, well, maybe it just needs to try harder. You know, like maybe this tree just doesn't have a good enough work ethic. But that's not what we're doing though, because we're saying that the fruit is the natural response of the tree. Yeah. So then if the natural response isn't happening, then we're just like, oh, well, something needs to change. We just need to help this process out. We need to come in and find a way to add something to this process to make it produce the fruit that we would expect. Not just effort or a work ethic, but something deeper than that that'll actually come into that process. And so when we talk about that application as a believer, when we talk about living a life in the Spirit, if we're not seeing fruits of the Spirit, if we're not seeing love, if we're not seeing joy, if we're not seeing kindness, it's not a sign for us to just be like, man, I need to put in more effort. But it's like, hey, we can just take a step back and be like, well, I know that I am saved. Like, I know that I do believe in Jesus. So maybe there's something else that's needed that's like blocking this. Maybe there's something that I need to abstain from for a season, you know? Maybe it could just, like, it could honestly be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to stop using my phone as much. And so, like, for a month, I'm gonna reduce my usage of social media, right? That isn't you doing it for effort's sake. But it's you saying, I know that if I'm living by the Spirit, I should see fruits of the Spirit. So now, if you're not seeing fruit, or if you're not seeing healthy fruit, or you're not seeing consistent fruit, it leads you to go, okay, God, there's something missing that I think that I need. right? And so then, instead of us just beating ourselves up and being like, man, I'm not doing a good enough job, we're actually able to say, okay, Lord, I think that there's something I need. And this invites us into conversation. This invites us into communion with the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit as the empowering presence of God. And so the beautiful thing about that is he doesn't just like save us and then say, all right, good luck. Are you're still angry? You don't have the joy yet? Come on. That's not what he does. He actually saves us, but then he empowers us with the Spirit to live this life by the Spirit. So the great thing about this is none of it is really up to our control. We can't do it on our own. The same way that when Keithan and Reagan were talking about just the way that God showed up last week, and they were like, yeah, you know what? Like, we can't just try and recreate that situation or make it happen on human strength. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something that you can muster up on your own, even if you try. And so since you are aware of that, it allows us to yield ourselves. And to be like, okay, if I'm not seeing the fruit, or if I want to see more of the fruit, I know what to do. What I need to do is to turn to the source of the fruit, because the same Holy Spirit that saved me is the same Holy Spirit that produces the fruit, and the same Holy Spirit that empowers me to do things that will lead me to living a life that will produce the fruit also. So there's a couple things that we could fall into. One being fruit without the Spirit. So fruit without the Spirit, we'll call it like plastic fruit. So if you're not an apple tree and you're trying to create apples, you have some options. Like, you can make, like, you can go to a factory, you can look at an apple, maybe you can get Jason to draw you like a beautiful sketch of the apple, and you'll be like, okay, I know what it looks like, I know what it smells like, let me try and recreate it. But it'll take a lot of effort, and it's not really sustainable, right? If you wanted to create like a whole batch of apples, like, it would just be hard. And what's funny is the actual apple tree is producing a bunch of apples, and the whole time, the apple tree's apples are natural byproducts. So the apple tree's not even like focused on the actual details of the fruit itself. But if you're trying to create fruit without the Spirit, what you're doing is like, oh man, I know that I should have joy and I don't have joy. So let me try and find a way to, like, I saw that person had joy and it looked like that. So maybe if I can just do the things that they do when they have joy, it'll like create joy in me. But what's happening is we're not actually getting the fruit from the same source. So fruit from the Spirit, what's different about it is that it's a byproduct, like I've been saying, but also is it supernatural. So if we talk about something like love, so you can out of your own strength be like, I want to replicate love. So let's say, you know, you see love between your parents, and they're going out of their way. Let's say an example, this is something that my dad always does. He'll like wash my mom's car. Like, he'll just like leave and he'll like take the car and he'll wash it, and she'll come back and be like, wow, that's so nice of you. You washed my car. Now my car's all clean. It's a messy Canadian winter. Now I don't have to worry about like if I can see out of my back window, right? So I could look at that and be like, oh wow, that's a good sign of love. You like wash people's cars, and I can try and replicate it or do things, right? But what happens with trying to like replicate fruit on its own is that there's a certain line that you can get to, where all of a sudden you're like, I don't really know if you'll be able to sustain that. So then, let's say I'm at a point and I'm like really upset with my mom, and I'm like, well, I should love her, so I should go and wash the car. I might be like, it's very easy for me to get to a point where I'm like, I honestly don't even have the energy to do the thing that I was gonna do to like create this love effect, right? But supernatural love is completely different, because supernatural love actually is able to like carry you through moments of pain and difficulty and bitterness. And as you're living this life in the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit that's coming out of you would be even beyond what you could do if you were trying to muster it up, right? Like, human effort, human strength can take you somewhere, but it can only take you so far, and it'll only last so long also. There'll be a point. This is like, I mean, we've all felt this in friendships, in community. There's a point of like human effort where you can like smile and show a good face, but then eventually that gets exhausted. Yeah. Eventually you get to a point where you're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't fake it anymore. I need to, what's actually inside of me is gonna come out at some point, right? The Bible says that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So it's like, okay, I can say loving things, but I can't change like the love that's in my heart. So maybe you can even get by, and I did this for a long time in church, saying all the right things, but then like when you're at home and when you're like, no one's there, what's going through your mind is not those same things that were coming out, right? That's like that plastic fruit where you learn to filter basically like what comes out of your mouth and to be like, okay, I know how to say the right things, but if you're really being honest with yourself, like if you're just looking at the mirror, you're like, okay, I said that thing, but it's like what was happening in my heart was not in alignment with what I said. I was suppressing something that was in my heart to let out what I thought I should say. And that's what happens when we're doing fruit without the Spirit, right? But also on the other side of that, the depth of fruits of the Spirit that could come out of your life are so much more than what we could even imagine by our own effort. And you don't even need to just believe me. This has been something that throughout Christian history, like throughout the early church, the things that Christians have done you could look through history books, it's things that don't make sense. It's like measures of love and it's measures of extreme forgiveness that go beyond human willpower. Like there's things that you see and you're like, okay, I mean, like maybe I could wash my mom's car for a year or like my whole life even. Maybe I could do that on my own strength. But there's certain things that the early church has done. You think about Mother Teresa, right? Like people who have just given extremely and extravagantly from their heart. And it's like, what was the source of that? Where did that come from? Like, I don't know if you know public hospitals. Public hospitals, that idea came out of early Christianity. And it came out of the Christian's ability to care for the lost and care for the needy. And to be like, man, we care for these people so much. How can we create structures for them to get what they need, right? That's stuff that goes beyond just good ideas and good effort. So when we do fruit without the Spirit, one, it's exhausting and it's not sustainable. But on the other hand, it's like, it's so much less than what's available for us. Yeah. It's like we have the ability to have real fruit and not just real fruit that's like, what I could think of in my head. Like maybe there's things when you heard that list of fruits of the Spirit, there's like things that you're like, okay, well, you know what? Joy would really be great. Like I honestly feel like I just really need some joy right now. Or maybe it's like gentleness where you're like, man, sometimes I just don't feel that and I want to be able to feel like I have gentleness. The beauty of fruits of the Spirit, things that are coming from the Spirit, is that even what you imagine when you think of like, man, what could it look like for me to have this fruit come out of my life? What's possible is so much more because it's not bounded by your imagination. It's not bound by your ability or what you've even seen before. Maybe the love that could come out of you as a byproduct of the Spirit is like beyond even the kind of love that you've ever seen anyone express. And the only reason that's possible is that it isn't based on what you've seen expressed. It's based on what the Spirit is able to do. And what the Spirit's able to do is like so much more, so much greater than anything that we could ever ask or imagine. The second thing, so that's fruit without Spirit. But then if we fall into Spirit without fruit, if we have the Spirit and we're not seeing the fruit, that's one thing. But if we have the Spirit and we're okay with not seeing fruit, that's a whole other thing, right? Because there's times, maybe it's like a season where you're having a difficult time and you're struggling and you're just like trying to get by, and that's okay. But if you get to a point where you say, you know what, I'm actually okay with where I'm at, then all of a sudden we can find ourselves very easily being stagnant. And when we talked about fruit, we said that fruit can be like a warning sign, right? Like fruit tells you about the quality of the tree. And so if we're able to just be stagnant, it's very likely that there could be like a huge sign that is trying to be shown to us that we're just missing because we're like, honestly, I'm kind of cool with the way things are at right now. I feel like I got to a comfortable point in my faith and I'm just going to hang out here. What we're saying is like, I actually am going to close my eyes. I'm going to like look away from what's possible and what God's calling me into. And I think sometimes we can honestly just do that because we don't truly trust in God's nature, right? Like, we can be like, okay, well, I trusted God to get me this thing that I needed, but do I really trust him enough for me to say that I want to live a life that is fueled by him? That step could be the barrier, right? That step honestly could be the barrier of saying, okay, I feel like there's a step that I could take, but I don't know if it's actually a good step for me. I don't know if it's actually a step that's worth it to take. But the invitation to life in the Spirit is not just like doing Christian things and not just outputs of like, oh wow, this is what a good Christian looks like. This is how a good Christian talks. It's actually an abundant life that's full of adventure, that's full of our soul's longings being met. And when we see it that way, it's like, oh, and also when we see the flesh's opposition, what we realize is like, man, I know how twisted my own heart can get, and I know how easily it can get to that point. So the ability to draw from another source and to not take it up on that offer makes no sense. I'm like, if I just were to do things on my own way, I'm like, that would lead to a not very good outcome. Maybe externally it could sometimes, but I know that the state of my heart, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, all those things that could come up in my heart, I'm aware, and I think a lot of us are aware if we think about it, that we need another source. It's not just like, hey, well, do I want to take this step of living life in the Spirit? It's like, man, what's the other option? What happens if we just do things on our own strength and willpower? How long will that suffice? How long will that be able to actually sustain us, right? So there's an invitation when we, if we see a lack of fruit, or maybe we're seeing like, yeah, like inconsistent fruit, or we're looking at that list and there's certain things where you're just like, man, I don't know if I've ever actually seen that come out of me. It's an invitation, because it's not about personality types. It's not like, hey, that person has like a more joyful, expressive personality. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like heart level fruit. Like some of this, honestly, some of these fruits of the Spirit are like internal things that from the outside might not be immediately noticeable, but that the person who's like carrying the things of the Spirit, it can feel like a true shift of your heart. I feel like, even for me, there was a moment when I was in college when I like really started following the Lord. And basically it was this conversation that I had with one of my best friends. And at the end of the conversation, I remember just being like, man, I have so much doubt. I have so much things going on in my mind. I just need to know if God's real. And we have this conversation, and then it leads me to just like go home and pray into it. And I felt like when I was praying into it that I just had this like encounter where I felt like God was revealing himself to me. I felt like I was reading scripture that I'd read before, but it felt like he was like genuinely speaking to me in my moment. And it was an interesting shift that I felt in my heart, because I feel like at that point I genuinely was like, man, I feel like something changed. And there were certain experiences that I had, like there were certain people that I would look at, like I would be passing by the street and I'd be like, man, I feel this like weird love for that random stranger that I've never seen before. And it was foreign to me. So I was like, I know that isn't me. But the other byproduct of that experience for me was I started to have more of an awareness of the fruit that I didn't want to see. So all of a sudden, then I would like lash out at someone and it wouldn't feel the same as before. I'd be like, oh man, I don't think I should have done that. Like, and it was a level of conviction that was coming that was actually a really pleasant, welcome thing. Because what happened is when I encountered God, I realized that I wanted to be like him. I wanted to grow and to be able to resemble the same thing, the same kind of love that I was experiencing. I was like, I want to live that stuff out. And then now, when I was doing things that felt contrary to that, I felt internally this like, oh man, I actually don't want to do that. And so when we talk about life in the Spirit, when we talk about life in the Spirit where you're living a life that's obedient to what the Spirit's calling you to do, we're not just talking about Christian fruit. We're not just talking about a good church attender's fruit and like the things that would come out of them. What we're talking about is a life that's like fully, fully submitted to the Spirit, that's walking in the Spirit, not just for the sake of the fruit. The fruit is a natural byproduct. The fruit is a good warning sign of what's going on, but it's actually like an opposition to our carnal nature. It's an opposition to like our natural way of doing things. Like if we look at ourselves and we're like, man, there's this that I do that frustrates me. There's this that I do and I don't understand it sometimes, or this comes out of me and I don't know what to do. It can feel overwhelming. Like you can just be like, man, why do I keep doing this? But the invitation, when we look at fruits of the Spirit, the invitation is not just saying, hey, you should feel guilty if you're not doing these things. It's actually, hey, if you're not seeing this fruit, if you're seeing some of the negative bitterness, it's okay. There's another way. It should be an invitation. It's not meant to condemn you. It's not meant to be like, oh, look at you missing. Like you only got 3 of 7, you know? It's actually an invitation. It's like, man, there's so much more available. Hey, maybe you felt love in a tangible way, but maybe when you think about joy, you're like, man, I don't really know what true joy feels like. Boom, invitation. It's like, that's what's available in the life of the Spirit. And when we look at the opposite too, when we look at the bitterness, when we look at the anger, when we look at the resentments, it's actually not there to just be like, man, why do I keep doing this? It's the same invitation to being like, oh, I think that is a fruit of my flesh. So maybe there's something that can happen for me to move to a life in the Spirit. Maybe there's like decisions that I can make. Maybe there's things that I can invite God into and ask and like yearn that he would let my life be formed to be a life in the Spirit, so that fruits of the Spirit would be a natural byproduct of that. It's not a religious, I want to earn something. It's not like, man, I want to collect something. But what it actually is it's like, God, I desire to leave my old ways behind. I desire to leave all the bitterness. I desire to leave all the like negativity that I carry behind. And I want a life that's in the Spirit. And what I think that God does so amazingly is like, when I mentioned that the Holy Spirit's the same one that empowers us, God can also change our desires. And sometimes that's the step. Sometimes reading a list of fruits of the Spirit, like the one in Galatians 5, if anything, can be an invitation to like, man, maybe I forgot that that's even possible. Yeah. Maybe I forgot that I could taste love, joy, peace, kindness. Like, now let me get a grid for what I actually want my heart to long for, and not just get focused on like putting my head down and seeing what's in front of me, but lifting up my head and being like, oh, I think that there's actually a life in the Spirit that's filled with these good things that I know that deep down I want, but maybe I just like forgot were available to me. So I have a couple questions. We're gonna spend some time.